Around Comics, Episode 86. From Chicago, this is Around Comics, a roundtable discussing topics in and around the world of comics. I'm your host, Christopher Niesman, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host of the show. Well, actually, not for this one. Tom and Sal will be back on our next episode, but don't worry, I'm not totally flying solo today. We're going to have one of our favorite former guests back on. He's the writer of one of our favorite series from 2006, The Exterminators, Mr. Simon Oliver. That'll be in just a couple moments, but first I wanted to let you know that this episode of Around Comics is sponsored by Borders. Your heart pounds, your palms sweat, the tension is nearly unbearable, and then you spot it. The graphic novel you've been searching everywhere for, right here in your local Borders. Borders has thousands of manga and graphic novels. In fact, you'll find exactly what you're looking for and discover new and unexpected authors and series simply by visiting Borders. Save on your favorite graphic novels, manga, and more. Click on the Borders banner on AroundComics.com for a 20% off coupon. Check Borders first. Find a store near you at www.borders.com or use the Borders store locator at AroundComics.com. We would certainly like to thank the fine folks at Borders for sponsoring this episode of Around Comics. Remember to go to AroundComics.com and get one of those 20% off coupons. Now, normally, Around Comics is recorded every Friday at 7 o'clock at Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles. It's located at 4835 Northwestern Avenue in Chicago. If you're in the area, please drop by. We would love to meet you. When you're here, please remember to ask about Dark Tower's Pull-List membership. It's one of the best you'll find anywhere. Dark Tower has a great selection of mainstream comics, independent comics, and trades, as well as statues and action figures. Come to Dark Tower for all of your comics and collectibles needs. Longtime listeners of Around Comics already know that The Exterminators is one of our favorite books, and has been since its debut in 2006. Last August, we had the opportunity to talk with series author Simon Oliver, and if you're interested in hearing that interview, I would definitely suggest it. It is Around Comics, episode number 39. That focused a lot more on Simon's background and how he got into comics. Since we've already covered that, this interview will go past that and what has happened with Simon since last August, and what we have to look forward to with The Exterminators and hopefully many other projects coming up. So, without further ado, Simon Oliver. The Exterminator seems to be a book that has developed a pretty loyal fan base. We constantly hear from people that email us that, you know, after we have suggested it, that they were really tentative to get into the series, but once they did, they really love it. What kinds of feedback have you received from readers as they've kind of gotten into the series?
Pretty much the same kind of thing. We seem to have this, you know, pretty hardcore following, and people are really into it. Like you said, people. I was doing a signing last night, and people are, you know, the people who read it are really excited about it. It's not one of those things where people kind of sit on the fence, and you know, people like it or they hate it. We don't have many people who just kind of pick it up and don't have anything to say about it.
Are you still getting the people that that say, you know, I hear good things about it, and I'd like to pick it up, but I just don't like bugs?
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit. A lot of it, you know, is more like, oh, I want to get into it, but I'm already buying, you know, 300 books a month or something, and I don't know if I, you know, I think it's a problem with a lot of new books starting out is just finding space in people's reading. There's a lot of books out there, so yeah, I'm still getting a little bit of the bug thing. Actually, not as much. I'm still getting, you know, I think in the last one we blew the gerbil up. I think there was a couple of comments about it being fairly gratuitous, but I kind of welcome that label now. I've kind of grown into it.
You guys have developed a reputation with a little bit of a gross out factor, and that is kind of the, I don't know. It's kind of the magic trick with the Exterminators is that, you know, there is the gross out factor, but there's a lot of story underneath that, and I think that a lot of readers will tend to focus on kind of the bug or infestation aspect of it, but what the loyal fans that I kind of mentioned at the beginning are the ones that have really gotten into the series and see the depth of the story there.
That's what a lot of the feedback last night when I did a signing last night, and a lot of people, that was the people who were really into it, that was their thing, was like, you know, they didn't really want to talk about the bug stuff so much, it was the other stuff. It was like, well, how did you come up, you know, how does this all, I mean, really interested and really, you know, and a lot of good comments about the characters. They're very rounded, real characters that they care about, which is great, because it's hard to do with a 22-page comic book with action and everything else going on to actually, go in depth on some characters.
Can't wait until the next podcast? Be sure to check out AroundComics.com for breaking news, reviews, and opinions.
Now, the tentative nature of a lot of comic book fans, I think, has been a little bit of a hurdle to get into the Exterminators, but one of the nice things that Vertigo has done, and they've done it with not just the Exterminators, but a lot of other series, is that they offer a free download of the first issue at their site. Have you gotten any feedback from that, or people that have jumped onto the series?
I don't know. I haven't heard the numbers. The Exterminators was one of later issues to go up, and I know they were keeping tabs on the other books that they put up there just to kind of keep track of how many people were downloading it, and I haven't had any feedback from people who've read. I think mainly the people who are getting into it now are the people who, you know, have had friends lend it to them, or, you know, guys who work in comic book stores who are really into it. Get them into it as well. So I don't know. I mean, I think it's definitely a good thing. I mean, it's definitely available for illegal download as well, which is another thing. Which, you know, does it get us new readers, or does it lose us readers? Is kind of the big question. But you know, it's definitely a good thing that they're starting to put the books online as well, so people can take a look at it and see if they want to continue. And also with the $10. The first trade as well is a good way of getting people into it.
Yeah, it's a great price point for that trade. And you mentioned illegal downloads, and I think that's something that people are talking about more and more all the time. And you know, the industry is looking at more legal ways to provide digital comics. I think that, you know, Vertigo, it kind of works outside of a lot of the mainstream comics.
Right.
In that, I think that, you know, illegal downloads may actually help a book like The Exterminators, because people will try it out like that, and I think that's why Vertigo is offering a free PDF of the first issue. One of the things that was intriguing and exciting for me is that I saw that after Bug Brothers trade came out, there was a spike in sales for The Exterminators, which showed me that people were picking up the trade.
We went up, not a huge amount, but we went up by a little bit, but it's a little frightening how badly the non-superhero books are selling, despite all the, you know, the great press the latest batch of Vertigo books have had. You know, no one's really selling huge numbers. They may make up the difference with the trade, though. I don't know, and I don't know enough about the business side of things. But, you know, maybe it's everything's cyclical as well. But yeah, it's I don't know. It's a little strange how the numbers are at the moment.
Sure. Now, you have largely a TV background, and which we always like to kind of pick your brain about your views on the comics industry, because you're an industry professional, but you don't have a huge background in comics.
I know virtually nothing.
Which is great. You're a perfect case study for that. Now, coming from TV and hearing stuff like, well, really only superhero comics sell really well. It's like in TV that would be like, well, only comedies do really well, or only cop shows do well.
Right.
What was your take whenever you heard that only superhero comics are big sellers in the industry?
Well, I mean, you know, we're definitely, you know, Vertigo has always been, and now they're, you know, even marketing themselves more as like the HBO of the comic book world, which is, I think, pretty accurate. You know, we're a niche of if the comic book world is a niche, we're a niche inside a niche, mm-hmm. and the Exterminators is a niche inside a niche inside a niche. So, I mean, I just think there's different markets, and, you know, we're all going to sell different, you know, different amounts depending on what kind of book we're writing and whether it's, you know, the big thing now seems to be whether it's tied inside, you know, Civil War or 52 or, you know, all these other things that go on where people have to buy all the books to go with it. So we're just going to sell less than those guys. It's just a matter of, you know, the most important thing to me is just does it sell enough to financially justify its existence? I mean, anything above that's great and everything. It's just like, you know, can it sell enough to keep itself alive and for long enough to develop an audience?
Sure, you guys would have had it made if issue 14 was a Civil War tie-in. You'd be set.
I was thinking about it, actually, and I was thinking about killing Captain America in one of my issues, but it didn't work out.
Well, I think that, you know, you as a writer and then a lot of the Vertigo series and independent comics, the whole goal is, as you just said, to kind of sustain a book long enough to tell your story and develop a readership. And I think that Vertigo has shown that they'll do that, that they will stay with the book if it's good. And I think that they know that The Exterminators is a book worth holding on for.
You know, even going into it, we knew that The Exterminators didn't have incredibly wide appeal, but, you know, given enough time, it would be able to find a market and, you know, and get good reviews and, you know, everything else that goes with it, which I think is pretty much done. And we're, you know, sales-wise, we're definitely hanging in there. I mean, it's not a completely dire situation, but, just the non-superhero world in general is it's a tough market.
I would ask you to tell your friends about the Around Comics podcast, but let's face it, your friends are a little bit on the two-dimensional side, aren't they?
Well, let's talk about some of the good stuff, which is your book.
Let's talk about bugs and killing bugs.
And rats, squeezing the life out of rats. The second arc of The Exterminators took a slightly different path from the first. While the pest control adventures are still there, we're starting to see, you know, some major character development, not just Henry, but of the supporting cast. Who have been your favorite characters of that supporting cast to write?
I think Stretch, actually. Henry's not so hard now, but Henry was pretty hard at the beginning. I think a lot of the times the leading character, especially when he's got a supporting cast like this, tends to kind of fall into the background. But, yeah, Stretch is definitely fun. Actually, Kevin was as well until I killed him. I don't know what I was thinking, but he was actually kind of fun as well.
I'm still really upset with you about that, because I was... after the Luchador issue, I was just like, I love this character. And then you had to, like, kill him, like, two issues later.
Yeah, he had to die, and at the moment, I don't have any plans on resurrecting him. But I do have some. I did get to a point a while ago where I was like, you know, I've killed off quite a few characters. I'm gonna have to bring some more in. So we do have some other new characters. Yeah, Stretch is pretty fun because he can be the guy that you can make stand back a little bit from the situation and comment on it. You know, he's always slightly removed from what's going on around him.
Can we expect to see a lot more of Paige as Henry kind of figures out his relationships?
Yeah, definitely. She's coming in. Actually, this arc that is coming out now, the third arc, has a lot of Laura in it. Actually, it's a big Laura centric arc. So she's going to be a major character, but we're going to see her go through some transformations and. You know, we're going to see where she comes out on the other side and where she's going to stand in the later issues that I'm working on now, where there's definitely, you know, lines being drawn in the sand as to where everyone is.
Yeah, because you can already see that road that she's going down. She's going to have to make a decision at some point.
Yeah, exactly. So there's a lot of that. I mean, there was a definite decision between the first arc. I wanted to hit it pretty hard and fast, and then the second one, I just kind of wanted to dial it back a little bit and just work on the characters, because, you know, something's going to be going on over 50 issues or 100 issues or whatever. You got to have, you know, you got to make sure that the characters are there. Otherwise, you know, it's the characters that keeps people coming back.
Absolutely, and there's a lot to work with there. Yeah, just a request with Paige. I want to see another story take place in the library brothel.
Yeah, you know, a couple of people mentioned that to me last night, and I've really been looking. I know I've got to write a couple of standalones soon, and do one that just kind of went into the literary brothel thing a little bit more, because we saw it and we've been there a couple of times, but I'd like to do a full issue just in there, like a day in the life of or something like that, because at the moment it's not a huge part of the story, but I just want to be able to explore it a little bit more, let's say.
I thought it was brilliant. Now, as a Midwesterner, are there really places like that in L.A.?
Oh, that would be telling, wouldn't it? I like to think so. You know what it was, though? What happened when I originally wrote all the treatments and stuff? She was just going to be an S&M, you know, S&M dominatrix type. And when I actually came to do it, I was just like, it suddenly struck me. It's like, it's so passe now. I don't know what's happened to our world, but, like, you know, I don't really watch network TV very much, but I'm sure on network TV later on at night with those cop shows, I'm sure they all have like little S&M kind of sidelines eventually, and, you know, CSI or something. I'm sure all those shows have done something similar. Everyone seems to be doing it now. It's like, you know, it's just kind of passe, really. I need to kind of take it to the next level in an exterminator kind of way, and that's kind of where it came from.
Oh, the total 180 on that was great, that she's more of a bookworm, but she still has kind of like this seedy side to her, but you kind of figure out in the one-shot issue that Chris Somney penciled that a lot of that comes from her relationship with her mother, and that was, I thought, very refreshing that you went that direction.
Yeah, no, it was, no, that was definitely, I had a lot of fun writing that standalone issue with just the two women in Henry's life.
That was great, and you're right, because CSI has a character called Lady Heather, who is the dominatrix.
Oh, really? See, I didn't even know that. I just guessed that, you know, all those shows must have, you know, done the S&M thing. Now it's kind of, you know, it's like, it's so 2002.
Exactly. So I thought that was very refreshing. Now, the first arc, Bug Brothers, had a pretty straightforward story. While it was odd and had some, you know, really creepy, icky moments, The second arc introduced a very supernatural element.
Right.
Now, what balance between the natural, I don't want to say, it's not horror, but just kind of that natural element of, you know, our fight against nature and the supernatural, are you trying to maintain?
Those two stories are going to start coming together a little bit more. In I'm writing the fourth arc, I'm on like 22 or 23. I think now, and I'm really starting to put those two parts of the story together and start to tie a lot of the ends together. So later on, you're going to see those two things kind of converging and becoming as one. But it is kind of a balance. I mean, even when I'm doing the stuff that's very, you know, like a lot of their day-to-day realm type stuff, where they're, you know, they're going to a house and they're treating it for ants or whatever. You know, I want to be able to do that stuff, but then still have this kind of strange feeling that, you know, there's something very strange around the corner or something, you know, they're living in this world where other things are possible as well.
Well, I think it is an interesting balancing act, because there is the danger of what may be living in your floorboards or anyone's floorboards, but then there's also the resurrected crazy man that is going to try and kill you. So it's an interesting...
So we're going to start bringing those, the crazy guy, and then there's some other, there's actually a spoiler, I guess.
No.
There's like an island which is in the South Pacific, which is because of global warming, of course we don't have, but global warming's going up, and you know, the island's about to disappear, and those people who end up being imported by Okran into Los Angeles are going to help to fill in a lot of the gaps later on, and help to, they're kind of the glue that's going to hold a lot of this together. It sounds crazy, but it will work, believe me. It'll make sense.
We're used to crazy with you, so looking forward to it.
I almost gave away more thing, you know, because I know I can't, with the arc at the moment, I don't want to give away the end. I don't want to talk too much about what's happening in these later ones, because the arc that ends, Laura's arc at the moment, is going to end, and I don't want to give away.
Well, as much as I would like to know, I don't want to know, because I enjoy the series that much. So
There's a group of islanders that come in as another character, and then we have a character in the fourth arc who comes in who's like a girl from the Hurdle gangbang, a girl called Coco, who kind of ends up joining up with them as well.
Okay.
It's kind of on her own little kick of retribution, and I think
Yes, yes. And I love her character. I think that she had...
Yeah, she's actually pretty cool as well, because it's been fun bringing her out and bringing her into this world from her angle, bringing it in, and she's got, you know, she's terrified of rats, and she has pure hatred of cockroaches that we're going to see coming in a little bit more, like a psychotic hatred of cockroaches.
And she's really kind of been there almost from the beginning, hasn't she?
Yeah, she was in there right from the beginning, and I didn't want to lose, you know, at one point I was not going to have her, you know, or we're going to kind of lose her at the end of the first arc, and I was like, you know, we put a lot of time into this character, we should look into it, and also because we didn't have any women exterminators at the beginning, and that was something I always wanted to kind of bring in more women into it as well, to see how that affected the whole balance.
I think it's been a fun addition to the team. I needed somebody now that Kevin is gone, so I can
yeah,
work for her.
I miss him. In fact, I was actually talking earlier today, because one of the things that I wanted to do with Kevin and they never let me do because of legal reasons was he had an obsession with the Carpenters.
Yes.
And I had him singing the lyrics a lot, and I actually got busted a couple of times for writing in Carpenter's lyrics. The first time it was pretty obvious, and then the second time I just kind of sneaked it in, and I still got the call saying, you can't do this, you can't use song lyrics.
It was so perfect.
I was always upset about.
Well, Tony Moore is still the primary artist on this series, but we saw a couple issues penciled by Mike Hawthorne, and then the one that we already mentioned with Chris Somney. There are a few more issues with guest artists coming up. What should we expect from the new art teams?
There are Ty Templeton. We have four different artists at the moment working on the book, four different books. Tony is taking a break for one arc, and we have Derek Robertson drawing it. That's going to be the issues. I think it's starting at 19. He's going to do 5 issues. Ty Templeton and who else do we have? And Tony. Yeah, Tony's doing a standalone at the moment, which is set on a cruise boat, which will be pretty good. And then we have John Lucas as well drawing. He's actually drawing out the end of this arc that's being published at the moment.
Great. Now, do you have new artists, whenever they sign on for this, do they put a disclaimer saying that they won't pencil any tidal waves of cockroaches?
I know. I feel bad because I've just started to do that. The first couple that, I think the first one that Derek got to draw didn't have that many bugs, and I've been increasing it over and over again. You know, with every issue in his arc, there's been more and more bugs. Let's just say I'm increasing the size of them. There's bugs, but then there's bigger bugs. So, but there's still, you know, there's still a lot of, like, a sea of bugs coming towards them and stuff like that.
That's great. You've actually, the art on the series has been pretty consistently great from the beginning.
They're fabulous. All those guys have blown me away whenever I get an email with new pages. It's just like, oh my God, how do they do this?
Yeah. Andy Parks Inks, I think, you know, definitely need to mention him. He did a great job on several of the earlier issues.
Yeah, he inks probably more bugs than anybody else in the business.
Now, you had mentioned earlier about story length, you know, 50 issues, 100 issues. I know that Vertigo and a lot of the series that come out of Vertigo have a predetermined story length. What's the idea on Exterminators? How many bug stories do you think you have in you?
I think I could probably tell bug stories for quite a while, but yeah, I definitely have a number. I definitely have a number in mind, just for kind of planning purposes that we're working towards. I mean, I'm reaching. I'm gonna put it out there. I'm thinking about 50. It's kind of a rough number in my head, but you know, I've kind of figured out a lot of the arcs, and we're kind of working towards a conclusion, and I'm at the halfway point with the writing now, so I'm working towards this conclusion, and that will start to become clearer, I think, at least over the next few arcs.
If we're looking at a resolution of the Exterminators, I certainly hope that you stick around and do some more comic work, and I have heard a couple rumors that there is at least a graphic novel out there, and maybe a couple other projects.
There's a couple of other things that I'm working on with them over at Vertigo. There's one that I haven't signed the contract yet, but it should be coming any day, which is a graphic novel. They're doing a series of crime graphic novels. I think I'm going to be doing one of those. I actually haven't started physically writing it, but I hear it's been greenlit. I just haven't had the contract to sign. And then a couple of other things that we are looking at, which will be, we're in very early stages, but it's looking pretty good.
Outstanding. Now that you're two trades in now, you've gotten through your first year as a visible writer in the industry. Mm-hmm. What kind of surprises or weird lessons have you learned in the past year about the industry?
A lot. I mean, starting completely from scratch. A lot. There's a lot of books out there, and I realize I'm probably not the best self-promoter in the world. There are people that are far better at it than I am. There's some things about The Exterminators that I might do differently. I think the main thing is that it wasn't, I think the hard sell wasn't just about it being about bugs, that it's a very hard book to, you know, encapsulate in a snappy little three-line pitch. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even now when people, you know, at signings and stuff, so what's the book about? And I'm always like, I think I designed something in the future that was a little easier to kind of get my foot in the door with people. The content would be exactly the same, but I just have an easier three line selling pitch for conventions and stuff.
I went back and listened to the first interview that we did with you last August and kind of asked the same question about, you know, how do you describe the book? And I think you came up with the shortest answer was, you know, man's ongoing and ever losing battle against nature. And that doesn't even begin to tell the story of the
Exterminators. Yeah, and I'm still, you know, that was last August, and I've been working on this book now for probably about 3 years, and I'm still a little gun-shy about trying to sum it up quickly, and now I just like pointing, you know, just read it. If you like it, you like it.
The last time we talked with you, you admitted that you weren't a big comic fan, that you didn't read a lot of comics. Are you starting to pick some stuff up?
Well, I'm still kind of gun-shy about it, and I have a huge, huge pile of comics next to my bed, some trades, and a lot of, because they send me the comp boxes of the monthlies. It's still weird for me, because I'm still, you know, I still think one of the things I have going for me as a comic book writer is that I don't really read comics, so anything I do is going to be slightly different just because I'm not kind of steeped in that mythology and process of writing comics. What did I read recently? Casanova. I like Casanova. That was cool. So, no, that's definitely kind of, you know, that's definitely along the lines of, you know, what I like to write. And yep. I like that 16-page format as well. I thought that was kind of cool.
Well, if you like that, you should check out the other Slimline book from Image called Fell.
Yeah, that's the other one I did. I read an issue of that, and it was good. I loved the art's great as well. The art's really fabulous.
Oh, absolutely. Gabriel Baugh on Casanova, and then Ben Temple-Smith on Fell.
Yeah, really. Like, you know, that's definitely good. I do pick up other books, and you know, I look at them in the comic book stores and stuff like that, but yeah, at the moment, I'm not really. Maybe when The Exterminators, maybe soon I should start to read through the stack of books that I got next to the bed.
I like how you look at it, that kind of distancing yourself from a lot of stuff kind of keeps you with a fresh outlook on it. And
yeah, I think so, and, you know, I'm desperately trying to hold on to that, because I think you do, you know, now I've written 20 issues or so, I think you do start to kind of fall into a, I think you kind of fall into a style, which I don't want to do, because I still want to keep people guessing, and so I'm really trying to do everything I can to kind of keep people on their toes. I'm afraid by reading. I mean, I even felt it when I was reading. There were certain things about the way that Casanova was laid out and stuff. I was like, oh, that's kind of cool the way they did, you know, the way they did that transition and you know, did that, you know, with the way they laid out that action, and you can just feel it start to kind of seep in. So I was like, eh. I don't know how much I can possibly read.
Hello, this is Steve Niles, and you are listening to Around Comics.
You know, we're talking about writing, you know, your characters, and I think that you write your characters obviously better than anyone else, but do you have any interest in mainstream work or writing other people's characters at some point?
Yeah, I've been talking a little bit about doing a little spin-off of one of the characters we own there just for a you know, like a six-issue run, mm-hmm. which I think is kind of cool. me, especially with the DC world, is having to know how everything fits together.
Yeah.
And writing in the, you know, the big DC world, so that's a little scary to me, in that it seems like there's a lot you have to know to be able to put it together. But yeah, no, I definitely would. I mean, I'm not hugely attracted towards, you know, superheroes for the sake of superheroes,
mm-hmm.
but just writing, you know, a superhero is a character, you know, characters tell stories, so it's I think it'd be kind of fun.
We have a few forum questions here before we wrap up. Keith Cunningham wrote in and asked what you have going on in the future, mainstream and otherwise. We already covered that, but
yeah, I got some other stuff that'll be coming out. I'll be around.
You know, you had actually mentioned last August about some movie scripts. Anything moving with that?
Yeah, possibly. You know how it is with that stuff, and then we're out, you know, kind of dealing with the exterminators as well with that kind of stuff. So yeah, you never know.
That's great.
No, you know, those things just vanish and then they're gone.
Yeah, they vanish and then they appear out of nowhere and
filed in cabinets somewhere and that's about it. Yeah, no, it's okay.
Well, I think that's Blue Meanie has a question, I think, along those lines. Because my question would be that when reading it, I did feel that it was ripe for being made into a movie or a TV property with a cool ensemble cast. So have there been any talks of translating this, as there's a part of me that needs to see CGI tidal waves of bugs?
Yeah, I'd love to, too. I think it'll be really cool. Yeah, there is interest in it, but you know, it's another of those things. It's like, you know, I mean, look at all the Vertigo properties that to me are absolute no brainers on linking into TVs or movies, and you know, we've yet to see a huge flood of those things hit the market.
Do you think it's going to take one big Vertigo property making it as like an HBO series or, you know, something along those lines, and then you're just going to see a rush of those?
Maybe it's slower. I mean, the fact that, you know, the 300 came out and made all that money in a weekend, you know, it's the money that talks, mm-hmm. unfortunately. And it does seem like, you know, Ghost Rider made,
mm-hmm.
You know, a truckload of money, and then, you know, 300 makes a bunch of money, and you know, that's basically what talks. That's what opens their eyes over there into making stuff. But yeah, it's always, even before I started doing this, it was always astounding to me when you look at Vertigo's back catalog. It's like, oh, this, it's like a movie. You know, they can make any of these. They're fabulous.
Yeah.
And you know, no, we get, you know, various other not very good movies instead. The weird thing is, at the moment, I find myself watching a lot of documentaries and a lot of TV on DVD, mm-hmm. and very rarely, I watched three movies in three nights recently that came out last year. They were all, you know, I watched Scanner Darkly and Marie Antoinette and The Science of Sleep, and really none of them were that good.
Yeah.
I mean, really kind of disappointing, all three of them. And, you know, then I just went back to watching My Wire on DVD, and I was like, this is really good.
Started watching a lot of you know, British import TV.
Wife.
Have you checked out Wife on Mars yet?
I have. I was just about to say that. I just started watching it a couple of weeks ago, and that's a brilliant concept.
Isn't it just a fantastic show?
Yeah. No. I was watching like the first and the, you know, the first episode. I was like, oh my god, this is pretty cool. I heard David Kelly's bought it.
Yeah, they're going to do an Americanized version,
which I
kind of cringe at, just because it's the British feel of that, of early 1970s Manchester.
Oh, yeah.
It's almost a character unto itself in the show, and I enjoy that.
Yeah, it is. I was fairly young then, but I do remember the 70s.
Sure, and it's stay with it, because the second season gets even better.
Oh, really? Oh, okay, good. I have to check that out.
It is very good. And I've been watching some old British cop drama called The Sweeney. Have you ever seen it? It's
that was a big thing in my childhood, The Sweeney. We were never allowed to stay up and watch that. That was the violent show that was on past 9 o'clock.
Nice.
And I always remember the music started. You could hear it from the bedroom just after we went to bed.
Oh, that was like your version of Hill Street Blues over there, I guess.
Yeah, kind of like that, but probably with more whiskey drinking. But yeah, that's basically, Life on Mars is The Sweeney.
Yeah, Yeah, exactly. It's my buddy John Suntress, who does Word Balloon, turned me on to the Sweeney. He's like, you have to watch this. You have to watch this.
It's great.
TalkBack has a question. Mr. Oliver seems to have very little web presence. As many creators have taken advantage of the World Wide Web to promote their books to great success. Did you purposefully choose to not actively promote your book online?
No, I just suck at it. I don't know if it's active, I just suck at it. This is one of the things I kind of learned about, you know, the self-promoting thing. You know, I do some interviews now. I like doing these podcasts. Mm-hmm. But I need to set up a website or something at this point. And I just, too busy writing, and I just haven't got around to it. And I feel that I should, because I do see, you know, other writers really all over the internet and posting and doing this kind of stuff. And I think the comic book business is very... big part of it, I think, is making personalities out of the writers, mm-hmm. more so than probably any other, you know, writing genre, you know, more so than TV or movies or, you know, books to a certain extent. And I don't know if my personality is ready to be made in public, to be honest.
The comics industry, I think, is different from just about any other entertainment medium in that... Mm-hmm. The creators do seem to be out there, and I think it's great. I love going to conventions, and I love being able to go to forum, whatever, and actually communicate with creators. But it is so different than any other entertainment industry.
And the fact that the creators are so available, which I do like. I mean, I do like it when, you know, I do like to occasion, you know, someone saying something particular about the book or something, just joining in the conversation with it, and I like to be... It's nice, I think, that in this medium that you are available to answer questions and you're around. You know, I think there's also a danger of just kind of getting sucked into the internet, mm-hmm. and, you know, never finding your way back out again. Well, you know, I'd rather be writing.
I know that you've always been very receptive to readers getting in touch with you to comment about the book. Are you still open to people contacting you?
Oh, yeah, no, anyone can drop me an email. I love it. I mean, it's still bizarre to me to think that, you know, there's anyone out there reading it, you know. If anyone ever has any comment, I'm like, yeah, cool, email me.
Great. Well, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
SimonOliver@earthlink.net.
Okay, there you go. And I think that's how I got a hold of you way back when.
Just don't put me on any of those lists where you get the jokes.
Oh. All right. Well, anything else coming up that you want to talk about before we wrap up here, or any other?
Look out. Hopefully, we'll announce this other book at some point. I don't know when. I haven't written it yet, so I don't know when it's coming out.
Okay.
And you know, a couple of these other projects that I'm working on at different stages. So at some point, I'll have some other stuff out there. I feel like I should have done by this point. With Exterminators being a year into its run, I should be out there announcing another book at a convention somewhere, but, you know, it hasn't. But I'm pretty excited about the projects I've got coming up and the ones I'm working on at the moment. I think they are worthy successors and worthy to continue what I've done with the Exterminators, definitely.
The first two trades are out. The first one
is... First one is only $10. I think the second one is at $13, so it's a steal. Artwork by Tony Moore, mm-hmm. of The Walking Dead and Fear Agent. And that man can draw a bug and a zombie like nobody else. And, yeah, look out, Derek Robertson's going to be... his arc will start later in the year, and that's going to be pretty fabulous. I have one particular image that he's already drawn, which is... It's one of those uniquely... disgusting things that we excel ourselves in.
Well, Simon, it is always a pleasure talking with you. We love the series. I'm talking for Sal and Tom and a lot of the other guests that we've had on the show, but we all love the series and can't wait to see where our favorite Bugby Gone crew goes in the future. So anytime, you know that you're welcome back on Around Comics. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
All right. Well, you have a good night.
Yeah, and thanks for your support.
Anytime. And there you go. That will wrap up our second interview with author Simon Oliver. Thank you very much to Simon and everyone involved with The Exterminators. It really is one of our favorite books. please spread the Around Comics love. There's a few different ways you can do that. You can take us up on our Listener LCS Challenge. Just go to aroundcomics.com and you can download our Listener LCS Challenge flyer. Ask your local comic shop owner or manager if they would be so kind as to display that in their store. If they do, we'll mention both you and them on the show and provide a link to the store at our site. You can also become our virtual friends at ComicSpace, that's comicspace.com/aroundcomics, or MySpace at www.myspace.com/aroundcomics. You can also do my personal favorite, which is leaving a review at the iTunes Music Store. It'd be as cool as Andy Parks, and Steve Bryant, Mike Norton, and various other people. Thank you very much to everyone who already has left us a review there. It really does matter. You can join our Frapper map. We'll have a whole new list of Frappers on our next episode. You can check out all the great things that AroundComics.com has to offer. It's your source for the very best in comic book news, reviews, and opinions. We are proud sponsors of the Comics Podcast Network. You can find more great podcasts at ComicsPodcast.com. Just so everyone is aware, we post next week's topic on Tuesdays or thereabout at our forum at AroundComics.com. You can look forward into the next few weeks with many guests to be announced. Just check the forum for that. Would like to thank Borders again. Borders has thousands of manga and graphic novels. In fact, you'll find exactly what you're looking for and discover unexpected new authors and series simply by visiting Borders. Save on your favorite graphic novels, manga, and more. You can now click on the Borders banner at AroundComics.com and receive a 20% off coupon. Check Borders first. To find a store near you, go to www.borders.com or use the Borders store locator at AroundComics.com. We are also proud to support the Hero Initiative. Hero creates a financial safety net for yesterday's creators who may need emergency medical aid, financial support for essentials of life, and an avenue back into paying work. It's a chance for all of us to give something back to the people who have given us so much enjoyment. For more information, visit heroinitiative.org or call 310-909-7809 and do something good. I'd like to thank Simon Oliver for joining me today. For all the Sal and Tom fans out there, don't worry, they'll be back on the next episode. And I'd also like to thank my lovely wife who has gotten to listen to all of this. Hi, honey. Tom, Sal, myself, and the rest of the Around Comics crew will be back on the next episode, so keep your eye out, and in the meantime, we'll be everywhere in and around comics.
Like to suggest a topic? Send us your comments or are interested in becoming a panel member? Email us at info@aroundcomics.com or visit the Contact Us section of our website. Music for the show provided by the Podshow Podsafe Music Network. Music.podshow.com. Views expressed in the interviews or by guests of the show are solely those of the individuals expressing them and do not reflect the opinions of Around Comics. Thank you for listening today, and remember to join us next time when the panel will change, but our mission will stay the same. Bringing you the very best news, reviews, and opinions in and around comics. Around Comics is a Pipe Dream production. Copyright 2007, all rights reserved. Love you, babe. Yeah.